Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Tuesday morning. ESPN 102.5, The Game. Hope everybody's having a great day thus far. Darren McFarland, that's me, representing the south side here in Rutherford County. Willie Donick over on the east side of town. Chase McCabe representing the west side. And Elijah Campbell back at 1824 Murfreesboro Pike, holding down things at our Hosel Inc. Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. In just a minute, we're going to head out west and check in with John Clayton. He does radio out there for ESPN in Seattle. We'll learn a little bit more about Jadeveon Clowney and the possibility of him maybe being a Tennessee Titan. Guys, I was looking at, the first segment we were talking about the Panthers are set to release Cam Newton. So they're going to cut Cam Newton. So they've hired Matt Rhule. We know Ron Rivera is now in Washington. Just think about the Panthers this offseason. So they're about to cut Cam Newton. Luke Kuechly has retired. Greg Olsen was cut. Eric Reed was cut. Trey Turner was traded. James Bradberry has left for free agency. Mario Addison has left for free agency. Gerald McCoy has left for free agency. Bruce Irvin left for free agency. Dontario Poe, we talked about yesterday, his option has been declined. It looks like he's going to sign elsewhere, possibly with Chase's Cowboys. That's a whole lot of losses. And, oh, by the way, when you look at those guys' resume, and I realize a lot of them are not in their prime anymore, but they won a lot of games because of those guys, and they're no longer in the fold.
I think it's safe to say this is the end of an era for the Panthers. They're just starting over.
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of what you expect when you bring in a new coach. He's going to try and get his type of players in there and, you know, build his system. But I'm curious to see what that offense looks like with Teddy B under center and moving on from, you know, Cam and Kyle Allen and those. But it's certainly going to be interesting. I don't, you know, with so much hype with that division, I'm not sure Carolina's going to have much to say about it this year at least.
Is Cam Newton still a starter in the league?
When healthy, I think he can be. I mean, but that's the big question.
Sure.
Can he stay healthy?
The fact that he got cut tells you that nobody was willing to take the contract. Now, it all changes, right? It changed very quickly for Todd Gurley once he got cut, right? And his new team was able to sign him at the value they saw fit at that time. So now we'll find out. I think the thing that hurts Cam, I think on a normal year, absolutely, he would get a chance to start for another team. But this isn't a normal year because of so many quarterbacks being available. As we speak right now, Andy Dalton's still out there, right? There's still other guys that
But Andy Dalton's not a free
agent. Same
kind
of track record.
Andy Dalton is under contract. So he would have to be traded,
so somebody
correct?
Would have to trade for him.
Yeah. He's in his last year.
I think he's a free agent. He's not a free agent?
I thought he was in his last year. That he's
who are you asking about, Willie?
Let's check.
He's in his last year.
Yeah. He's not a free agent.
Wow. Okay. So will that...
We have John. No.
All right. Let's head out west. Let's head to check in out in Seattle. John Clayton, 710 ESPN Radio out there. John, how you doing?
Doing the best we can under the circumstances.
I know. This is unfamiliar territory for all of us, right? Are you guys practicing social distancing out there as well?
We were the first in practicing social distancing because everything started out here for the most part.
Yeah.
And so we've been doing that now for about a month. And so yesterday the governor, you know, basically shut down the state, and which is pretty much what's going to happen, I think, in most states over the period of time. And that's going to be at least a five-week process of trying to see how that's going to go. So, everything's pretty well shut down, and only essential businesses are the places you can go to.
Yeah, we're all going to find out how strong we are with our families at homes, aren't we? We're going to find out our true bond with our families here in the coming weeks, maybe months, who knows. We're trying to figure out Jadeveon Clowney because there's a lot of talk of possibly him landing here. I think the Jarrell Casey trade took us all by surprise where they traded him to the Broncos for a seventh-round pick. It was clearly a salary dump, so what are they – dumping salary for? There's a history there with the head coach in his time in Houston, so he was around a guy like Jadeveon Clowney. But we want to know from you, his stint this last season in Seattle with the Seahawks. What was the talk around him as you guys watched his body of work this past season? What comes to mind? How would you describe what Jadeveon Clowney is today at, what, 27?
He was fantastic. I mean, probably one of the sixth or seventh best edge rushers in football, because his ability to disrupt was fantastic. He fought through injuries, which, of course, is one of the reasons he's having trouble securing the big deal that he's hoping for, the $21 to $22 million, and that's obviously passed. But, no, I mean, his ability to bat down passes, to put pressure on quarterbacks, to get around him, and he was double-teamed about as much as any defensive end in football. But I think the other thing is that he plays better in a 4-3 defense than a 3-4. Sure, I mean, on the downs, when you're on a pass down and all stuff like that, he's going to put his hand on the ground and rush, but he's much better in a 4-3 because his hand is on the ground every play, and he doesn't have to worry about dropping into coverage.
What do you think the final number is going to be? Like you said, he's seeking top-end money, but right now as we sit here, it doesn't look like he's going to get what he's asking for. What do you think that final number is going to look like per year?
The final number, if it's in a perfect world, and it's not going to be perfect for Jadeveon, is $17 to $17.5 million. You know, pretty much a little bit above Eric Armstead. Problem is, he's probably not going to be able to get that. At least if he's not going to be able to get it now, because any team that's going to make an agreement with Jadeveon Clowney has to have him have a physical. That's got to be essential. And so, because of that, he's not going to be able to get a physical, because now pretty much it's mandated by the league that the physicians should not get involved, because they've got other important things to do with the virus. And so now that very well could put him at a point where, you know, Seattle, who doesn't want to pay him the 17 or 18 but still wants him back big time, you know, they can go ahead and maybe try to get him under $15 million, which is a little bit lower than what Dante Fowler got. And so that sits there. But the problem for Clowney, the longer he waits, and again, if it's going to be 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, you get to the draft, and all of a sudden, a team might be willing to sign you, draft somebody. Now, nothing happens, and so you lose all your leverage. And, of course, his leverage is pretty well gone. Most of the 4-3 teams have already come ahead and made their moves to try to get their pass-rushing defensive ends.
Hmm. You know, we used to have the same discussion. Some of the stuff that you hear on Clowney, we used to have the same discussions here about Albert Haynesworth, right? That he was so dominant when he wanted to, but, you know, obviously that there was times where he had to be, you know, Jim Washburn had to motivate him and to get him going, and they wanted that motor running all the time. But when he was locked in, he was an unstoppable force. Is that kind of how you feel about Clowney? When Clowney is healthy and he's out there, he is a guy that can disrupt things for teams?
Oh, 100%. I mean, that's what's one of the things he can do. The only thing that he's not good at is getting the sacks, because he's never had a double-digit sack season, and that's one of the reasons why he didn't get an offer in the 20s, because if you're going to be a disruptive force, which he is, you also have to go along with the sacks and then also not have the injury history. You know, the injury history, he's missed 20 games in 6 years, and just about every year, because remember, he started his NFL career with a microfracture, and that didn't help. And then you come back, and now you're trying to fight that. But, no, he plays hard. I mean, again, to show you what a player he is, you know, he goes in November and suffers a core injury, you know, basically a sports hernia. Goes to Philadelphia, ironically the week that they're playing Philadelphia, and then comes back and finds out he's going to need surgery. He postponed surgery until the end of the season, just fought through the pain, fought through everything else, just because he wanted to do it for his teammates and show what a good teammate he is and try to help this team get to the playoffs and win a playoff game.
Willie?
We're talking to John Clayton, 710
John
ESPN.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Chase.
Yeah, in Seattle. And, John, when you look at the Tennessee Titans, you know, there were so many rumors that, okay, could Tom Brady come here? They end up going with the long-term deal on Ryan Tannehill. Where were you on Brady? Were you surprised that he ended up leaving New England? Did you think the Titans had a chance, or did this play out maybe how you thought it would?
No, I thought he was going to end up staying in New England. What I just didn't realize is how, you know, I guess distant the relationship had developed between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, where Tom basically, I think, just got tired of not feeling totally appreciated because of the finances and all that stuff, and Bill Belichick, of course, getting to the point saying, hey, I always like to get rid of a player a year or two before he starts to look too old in his eyes. And so I just couldn't get that full read, because you still think in the end that he's going to come back and he's going to be a member of the New England Patriots. So certainly the Titans had the chance, and they may have had the best chance, because what you can look at is that what Tom wanted to go is someplace that he can either have fun, or he can try to have a chance to get together with somebody like Mike Vrabel, who knows him, and they've been friends since 2001. And so I thought they had the best chance, but also I think in Mike Vrabel's case, I mean, Ryan Tannehill is a good quarterback for him, and now he's going to be there for several years. Where in Tom Brady, it's 2 years, and then that's it.
What kind of relationship do you think Bruce Arians and Tom Brady will have?
Fantastic. Because one thing is, Bruce can be tough on his quarterbacks, but he's also good with his quarterbacks. And I think that, you saw Carson Palmer, who, basically was retired in Cincinnati, traded to Oakland, didn't have a good time in Oakland, and look how he rejuvenated his career when he went together and got together with Bruce Arians. Bruce is just a very good coach. They've got Byron Leftwich now calling the plays. All those things are real positive, and so I think that that all will work out real fine.
The Titans obviously have a decision to make when it comes to Derrick Henry. They franchise tagged him, but you would expect a long-term deal. Do you think that that's going to be the case, that they get a long-term deal done, or does he have to play a year on the tag?
I think he has to play a year in the tag. I mean, it'd be nice, but the problem is, what is the value? Because you now see what happens when you pay a running back. It doesn't necessarily work out. They gave David Johnson $13 million a year, and then ended up trading him to Houston. You saw that Le'Veon Bell held out after being franchised, and then he gets the long-term deal with the Jets, and you figure that he's going to be gone next year because he only averaged 3.2 yards a carry, and the coach, Adam Gase, doesn't believe in paying running backs. And so I know it worked well for Ezekiel Elliott, but I think you can see all these big deals for running backs. And so, I mean, if he's willing to play at the $8, $9, $10 million level, then he gets a long-term deal. If he's going to shoot for 13 or 14, I think it could be tough.
Talking to John Clayton, a host on 710 ESPN Seattle. And John, just a couple of quick ones for you. Let's talk Seattle for a moment. The Titans are certainly hoping they're going into a window where they're going to have sustained success, or at least on a higher level than they have. They've had four straight 9-7s here, as we know. But they're having to start making those tough choices, as you just illustrated with Derrick Henry, that a good team is going to have to make. The Seahawks have managed it very, very well over the long haul here. What do you think has been the key to them being able to stay pretty competitive for a fairly long period of time?
Well, first off, it starts with the quarterback, and they have the quarterback in Russell Wilson, who's arguably one of the top now three or four in the game. So having the quarterback is probably the most important things, but also having the ability to try to stay young even though you try to keep your core group together. John Snyder is one of the best as far as maneuvering in the draft, trading down from the first round, because, again, he's had very few first-round picks because he's elected to trade down, because what he realizes in the first round, if you're going to be a perennial playoff team, and more teams are recognizing this, that you're getting a second-round pick, because no team is going to have more than 16 to 18 first-round picks on their board. And so because of that, he gets extra draft choices. He has hit on draft choices in the fifth and sixth round. He can make the right moves there, along with the fact that, Pete Carroll has a good eye for what he wants at cornerback, and so he can get a cornerback in the fifth round. I mean, yesterday they made a steal of a trade in Quentin Dunbar from the Washington Redskins for a fifth-round pick. I mean, he was their best corner, and he's a cornerback that now just comes in and competes against Trey Flowers. So really, the way that Pete Carroll can coach these guys, motivate these guys, and then along with the fact that they've got a great quarterback and a very good general manager, they can have that sustainability.
John, before we let you go, you hit on this at the beginning of the show, or of your segment here. Darren hinted at it. You mentioned that in the state of Washington, particularly Seattle, you guys have been on the front end of what we're going through now in Nashville and really all around the country. But I know we're learning a lot from what you guys have been through. What would you tell a lot of us that are just sort of entering into this phase in the last few days for the first time? Because you've been through it, and hopefully there'll be some good to come out of it. But tell us what it's been like.
Well, it's been horrible because this area with the governor was able to identify how the numbers are going to go. And if you listen to Governor Cuomo's press conferences, I mean, they're following the same number pattern. We're literally, even though this area doesn't have as many tests as New York, the number of infections are going to go up every 3 days and double. And so, for example, back a week ago, the governor was saying that they probably had, it could have been as many as 100,000 people that have all this disease. And so, the idea is stay at home, stay away from people, do the social. And again, this has been the first area that's done a very good job of social distancing. That's what you need to do. But again, don't do what they're doing down in Florida where they assemble at beaches and have that. You can't have parties or anything of that nature. You basically just have to stay at home and wait this out. And if you do that, 5-6 weeks, maybe there's a good chance that things will open. But then the problem is, after that, the other areas who are behind are still catching up. So this is going to be a long process.
John, we appreciate the visit. Thanks for doing this. Always good to catch up with you, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, sounds good.
John Clayton, 710 ESPN, out in Seattle. We'll come back, touch on some of the things you just heard on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.